Welcome to Moments with Marianne. I'm so delighted we're spending this time here today. We have a very inspiring show coming right up with two very special nonprofits that I think you need to know about. Our first guest today is Mark and Kirsten Palm. They're here today to share with us their nonprofit, Samaritan Aviation. Mark is the president and co-founder of Samaritan Aviation. He visited Papua New Guinea in 1994. While trekking through the jungles and seeing the desperate need of the people, he felt that God was calling him to this country and to devote his services to the people of Papua New Guinea. Kirsten Palm has earned a bachelor's degree of arts and a master's in cross-cultural education from Point Loma Nazarene University. She has her second teaching degree in health sciences. She's been a part of short-term mission trips to Mexico, Portugal, Chile, and Papua New Guinea. She's been a part of Samaritan Aviation since 1998, and their children, Sierra, Drake, and Nolan, love helping out and being part of this ministry. So let's welcome to the show, Mark and Kirsten Palm.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you. It's great to be here.
Oh, what a joy it is to have the both of you here and to talk about the work that you're doing. Okay, so how did this all start?
Well, it's quite a long story. I'll give you a little background on myself. Being a third generation aviator, and to give you some brief of what we're doing, we're working in Papua New Guinea providing medical services to remote communities using seaplanes. But growing up for me, I was a third generation aviator. My grandpa flew in World War II, and uncles flew airplanes, cousin, Delta pilot now. And, that was kind of my background. My father was a minister. And so I had this, upbringing where aviation was a big thing. And my father ran a homeless mission when I was in high school out in California. And so service was a big thing in our family. So, those two things. I had a moment in, I know this is called Moments, your show, but I had a moment in Mexico as a high schooler when I was down building houses for people that needed help down there. And I just had a moment where I just felt like God spoke to me, and he what I heard was, Mark, I want you to use your passion for people in aviation to share my love in a remote part of the world. And that one moment completely changed my life. And came back to California. I finished school, started all the flight training and aircraft engineer training, met my wife, Kirsten, who's here with me today. And, we started this journey, went over to, Papua New Guinea as a 19-year-old with a friend. And, really that's where we saw the need, you know, living on the islands with the people and, seeing the need for medical service. There was just no access, no hope to these remote communities when sicknesses came up, when breech births, any type of medical emergency, snake bites, those things, these people did not have access or hope in those situations. And water, there's water everywhere over there. And so that's really where the background of where Samaritan Aviation came from. That was kind of the vision from that trip. We came back and literally spent 10 years going around America telling the story of the need, trying to raise money for a seaplane, trying to get our organization off the ground. And, finally in 2010, my wife and I and, our three kids arrived in Wewak, Papua New Guinea. And, I put the plane back together with a bag of tools in the capital and, it flew it in, to the North Coast there. And, we started these life saving operations, almost 10 years ago now.
My goodness. Kirsten, when Mark first came to you and was telling you about this idea, what did you think?
Well, it started out pretty early on in our relationship. On our very first date, he gave me the warning and he said, I want to be a bush pilot in Papua New Guinea. If that is okay with you to have that kind of a life, then, you know, we can continue and see if this works out. But if not, then we could just be friends. So I had in the very first date, knowing exactly what his passion and plan was. And, you know, he was basically asking me if I was on board with that idea or not.
That's, you know, and I really applaud the both of you. I mean, how courageous you are to
do what you do. You're helping so many people. And it really, I mean, it's taking you a while to get to the place where you even got your first plane going.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's the part that it was hard. You know, every year after year, people were asking us, when are you going to be over there? We had a 5-year plan initially that took a little over 10 years. But, you know, we just kept seeing progress every year. And I think partly, too, we were growing the different jobs that we had during that time, growing as people. And it all prepared us to be successful once we arrived. And, yeah, so the journey, I believe the journey is half of it, right? When we look at life and the goals that we're all striving for, the journey is the important part, you know, how you deal with fighting through adversity, and all of those things grow you as people. And so when it gets hard, and when it got hard and over, you know, 10,000 miles away, we had some experiences to lean on, that helped get us through the hard times. So I think that, yeah, it was quite the journey. I don't recommend, you know, starting aviation organizations. I think for us, you know, there was nothing else like this. You know, we're working, you know, people don't realize, Papua New Guinea, it's the second largest island in the world. And, you know, 8 million people live on the half that we work on. These people, they call it the last frontier. And in the areas that we work, we're working on a 700-mile river. These people literally, there's one hospital, you know, for 500,000 people, and that one hospital is on the coast, on the north coast, and 220,000 people live on a 700-mile river. And there's no access for those people. It takes days to get to that one hospital. And so when we first went, heard story after story of people dying trying to get to that one hospital, you know, having this ability to really revolutionize this idea of service delivery, to have an airplane that can land anywhere on the 700-mile river and save a life, you know, when they have a breech berth and when there's a snake bite and tribal wars and all the things that we deal with over there. Malaria is a huge issue, tuberculosis, sickness outbreaks, try to get people immunized. Polio came back this year, for example. But then you have this idea of hope and no hope. You know, without Samaritan Aviation being there, for most of these people, there's no hope. And so that's really what we're offering, access and hope to these people, when they desperately need it. And it's been an amazing, amazing journey, and we feel blessed to be part of it.
Oh my goodness. You know, I was just floored to see some of the statistics in regards to, you know, like infant mortality rates. You look at these things, you're like, my goodness, you know, there needs to be more people like you helping people that are in Papua New Guinea.
Yeah, I think in this area, for sure, the needs are great. You know, some of these communities, they don't name their children until they're 2 years old, their babies, because the infant mortality rate is so high. And so I think, you know, those are real things that we don't face here in the States, you know, and even the hospital that we bring people into is not something that you and I are used to going to here in the States. The disabilities that the doctors have, the machinery or the, you know, the technology is just not there either. So they're years and years behind where we're at. But it's their only hope, you know. And, I'll tell you one story of bringing in they landed on the side of the river one day, and I was picking up a pregnant lady and breech berth, and they loaded her in. And as I'm loading her in the plane, another boat ride drives up and another canoe, and there's another lady with you know, a breech berth as well. I'm like, okay, let's go. We load her in and fly back. It's about a 45-minute flight back to the hospital. And, you know, being able to go in the next day, and both of these ladies had twins, and they were both breech twins. And so, you know, coming back in the next day and seeing all six of them, you know, both the women are sitting there holding twin babies. You know, that was one flight, six lives, that were saved. And I mean, I could tell you story after story. And, one of the cool things is we have a chance to go into this hospital and visit patients.
It's one of the things that, I get to do. Our kids get to join us with this, and the other staff, we get to do, visit the patients in the hospital. So a lot of times they come in and they, you know, haven't seen, the ocean. They haven't seen any kind of civilization, which is just, you know, simple buildings, roads, some vehicles are there. So for a lot of these people that are in the remote areas, they are so scared when they just, you know, see something outside of their village. So we are able to, you know, help them through that. You also help them provide things like, a fork, a cup, a blanket for the bed at the hospital, because when it's an emergency situation and they don't maybe have those items, then we can help, support them and assist them in those areas as well. And, one of the things too, that the hospital won't feed them unless they bring a plate, and they won't give them a drink unless they bring a cup. So it is critical for them to just have the basic needs met, as well as the life flights. And then while we're at the hospital, then, you know, we pray with them and we just try to meet their emotional needs or whatever it is that they need.
That sounds like it could be a very scary experience if you're going into it on your own, not really knowing, you know?
Yes, and they always have to bring a caregiver with them. So that person that comes with them, a lot of times is experiencing the same feelings, but they can go to the market and get them some basics, whether it's banana or smoked fish and things like that, but it is also hard for them. So we're there to support them as well. And one quick story that I'll share is, you know, we get to experience this life as a family, and our kids grew up being able to do some of these medicine delivery and hospital visits with us. And one time Mark brought in a woman who was injured, as well as her son. They had some domestic disputes in their home, and the son was protecting the mom. So he also got injured with some machete wounds to his arms and back, I believe. And I believe he was around, they don't really know their ages exactly out there, but I'm guessing he was around 12 years old. And so I was able to bring in my boys, and this little guy did not come in with clothes. So we went through our boys' closets, and they brought him some flip-flops and some shorts and shirts and a sweatshirt. So they were able to also think about, you know, this kid is our age, and we have things that he may need during this traumatic time.
Oh, my goodness. You know, it's so heartbreaking to hear these, but thank goodness that you guys are there to help these people.
Well, we, you know, we're, like I said, we feel blessed to be able to use our passions to help other people. And we have an amazing staff. You know, we're back right now in the States. Our daughter's a senior in high school, and so we're getting her through high school into college, and I'll be going back and forth. But, you know, we have an amazing staff over there that continues to serve the people. We've delivered 164,000 pounds of medicine now and vaccines. We've saved over, 1,200 lives through emergency evacuation flights. We've helped stop disease outbreaks. All of these things we just have an amazing team that has the same passion that we do. This idea that those people deserve a chance at life, you know, just because they weren't born here in the USA, and they don't have all the things we have access to, that they also deserve them, that God values them as well. And, we all have that passion. And so, you know, we're only as good as a team we have, and it's great that we get to speak, but I just want to shout out to our team and just say how thankful we are, for the amazing group that we have, serving and flying the planes. We have two seaplanes now. The organization is growing. Third one we just purchased, that'll be going over next year as well. And so it's been exciting. It was a long time getting that one airplane over there. And now we're slowly growing, and more staff is coming on board as well. And so, it's exciting to see that, you know, we feel like we have been able to make a significant difference. But on the other hand, we feel like we're just getting started, and we can't wait to do more.
Yeah, I can imagine. You know, from building houses in Mexico, what made you decide that Papua New Guinea was the place you wanted to do this ministry work?
Yeah, you know, I think the calling I had, or that moment in life where I just felt like I was supposed to go to a remote area of the world to to share my passion for people in aviation. At the time, I didn't know that was Papua New Guinea, but when I went there as a 19-year-old in 1994, that's really, and seeing the needs there and living with the people in remote communities and seeing the water, seeing the lack of access in that area, that really solidified for me that that was where I needed to serve. And then, meeting my wife a couple of years later, this has been an amazing journey for us, for our whole family. You know, our kids pretty much have grown up over there now and have had a chance to serve and to see the needs. And we've been able to serve as a family, which to us has been a passion of ours, is like, how do we get our kids, how is it not just dad's job or mom's job, but how do we serve as a family? And I think that's been something unique for our family, that our three children have been able to kind of grow up in a service environment, growing up, seeing people that have these huge needs and seeing that they can look around and do something about it. And I think in America, that's something that, my goal is to challenge people as I get a chance to tell stories and to speak. Kira and I have a passion to really inspire people, here in the USA to say, hey, what are you guys doing? There's needs everywhere. You don't have to go to Papua New Guinea to make a difference in the world. There's needs in your neighborhoods. There's needs in your communities, and, do something, get involved. Make a difference. Yeah. Make a difference where you're at.
Well, it seems that your story will really inspire so many other people to look for those opportunities, because you've made such a tremendous impact with what you're doing.
Yeah, we hope so. And people want to get involved with what we're doing in New Guinea. We love partnerships, and you can check us out at SamaritanAviation.org. We're on Facebook as well, and Instagram at Samaritan Aviation. But, the needs are so great around the world. And, I'll tell you one quick story. Right before we arrived, there was a cholera outbreak, which was something we don't deal with in the States. 3,000 people lost their lives on the river there. It's a very quick moving disease. And, that was literally 3 months before we arrived. And since we've been there the last 10 years, we've never had an outbreak like this. We've had outbreaks start, but we've been able to contain them. And, to where only a couple people would lose their life instead of thousands. And I think, just showing the need over there and the reason, that we're there, it's amazing. We can't do it without our partners here in the States either. One of the things that's been really amazing is the government supports us at 40% of all of our operation costs, the Papua New Guinean government. And so it's allowed us, to not charge for any of the flights. So we offer all of these services at no cost. Our pilots and families, that are from the U.S. raise their own support, so we don't have staff costs from this side. And so, that has allowed us to do this, to offer this service to serve these communities at no charge. And that's an amazing thing to be able to offer help to people without expectation in return. And I think that's really an amazing part of what we do. And, you can't put that into words when you save a life, or when you bring someone in and you get to sit with them, a couple days later after they've gone through this traumatic time, and, or a new baby's born and you get to see the baby, hold the baby, and just, sit with people and know that your life is counted, that you've done something, you've made a difference in those communities. But, that's amazing. So we're the lucky ones. I know it's been hard, sacrifice and all those things, but to be able to actually do that. But on the flip side of that is, without all the supporters back in the USA, faithfully believing in what we were doing and giving funding, I mean, that's amazing to me that, those people are just as important. We can't do it. It's a partnership, and, you can't do one without the other. And so, to those people who don't have the ability to get involved, give of your resources. You have time, resources and talent, and do something, with your life and make a difference.
My goodness. Yes, without a doubt. I mean, my goodness, you guys are doing such great work. And on average, how many flights are you saying that you're probably taking a day? Because you're pretty busy.
Yeah, it varies. One thing about emergencies is you can't plan emergencies. And so I've had up to 5 flights in a day when I was there by myself. And then other times, you know, we'll fly 1 to 2 times a day. We usually bring in around 20 patients a month, critically ill patients. And then we have medicine deliveries, the vaccine outreaches. I mentioned that earlier this year, polio came back for the first time in 18 years in the country. And so we work very closely with World Health Organization and UNICEF to vaccinate all of these remote communities, and being able to use the airplanes to fly in and bring in ice and vaccines and teams into these places allowed us to get to help stop this polio outbreak, which is something that's very, very scary, especially in these remote communities. And so the planes are amazing. You know, it's just access really to be able to go into these remote communities, land anywhere. We have a shirt that says, ask us about our 700 mile runway, because we can land anywhere on this river and offer these life-saving services.
Oh my goodness. I mean, you both are such heroes, and I just applaud you because the work you're doing is so heartfelt. You can tell that you're just living a life of service. This, and you talked about your children earlier, this really must be impacting their lives as well. And I can imagine in such a positive way.
Yeah, I think so. You know, when we talk to the kids, and when they, you know, speak about their times there, this idea that, you know, people are more important than things. That's kind of a theme with our kids that they always bring up. That they just understand now, you know, things are nice, and it's nice to have, you come back to the USA and have access to fast food restaurants and the,
internet,
and, you know, the other things, you know, social media, whatever. But you know, that's really our goal for them, really, you know, is that they understand that people are more important than things, and that, that they're able to see the needs around them and to help people in need. It's not all about, superficial things. That people are more important than stuff, I guess.
Yeah, with such powerful lessons. Well, how can people get connected with you guys and get involved in either donating? Because I'm sure if someone has a plane they want to give you, if it fits your needs, you'll take it, right?
Absolutely. They can go to SamaritanAviation.org, and we have information on the website of, it's a 501c3, so it is tax deductible. And if they want to donate, we do accept airplanes for sure.
Yeah, we're always looking for monthly donors and partners. You can also follow us at Facebook for weekly stories of lives that are saved. Samaritan Aviation, or Instagram as well. We can't do it without all of our partners. And we're basically in the States, we're funded by individuals, churches, foundations, and businesses that come alongside of us and believe in the serving and saving lives in other parts of the world. So we'd love for people to check out our website to partner and join with us as we work to save lives in Papua New Guinea.
Well, Mark and Kirsten, thank you both so much for being with us here today and talk about Samaritan Aviation. I mean, my goodness, what amazing work you're doing.
Well, thanks, Miriam, for having us, and Marianne, and all the best.
Well, thank you, Mark and Kirsten. It has been such an honor to spend this time with you and to talk about not only the great work you're doing, but also Samaritan Aviation and how people can get involved. I know there's ways for donating at SamaritanAviation.org. And also you have all these great opportunities for people who either volunteer or actually work with Samaritan Aviation on the website as well. Well, on that note, we're going to pause here for a quick break. You've been listening to Moments with Marianne. We'll be right back after these messages.